Hey, sorry, I was a minute late here. So I actually clicked on the wrong link and went to the Tuesday links. let's see. There's only 14 here, but I see Dennis and Kristen are here. And Kimberly. Not that everybody else isn't important, but it is 2 minutes after. Kimberly, do you mind? We did have somebody reach out to us with some information about something, and they're going to join us Tuesday to talk more about it. But if Kimberly's just going to give kind of a brief heads up about what the topic will be about, and then it'll be Kristen with a PC update.
Yeah, so I haven't looked a whole lot at it yet, but it sounds like data import is trying to get feedback on kind of their group, whether they should remain as a working group under metadata management, whether they should kind of become their own SIG or maybe fall under CrossApp. And so I think Jennifer Eustace is going to come on Tuesday to talk with us about that. I think she's also meeting with CrossApp. And then I believe Data Import will also have a meeting in May discussing this. So if you have any interest or thoughts on that, I will try to put some links of discussions that have already happened in the meeting notes if you want to look at any of that to follow kind of what's going on there.
And Dennis, before Kristen gets started, did you have anything you wanted to bring up today?
No, nothing specific for me.
Okay. All right, Kristen.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello. So I hope you're all having a good Friday. I wanted to give some PC updates, and then this might be a little bit longer than some. Because we're talking about SIG priorities in the PC right now. And so you might be interested to see what we've got going on so far. I did want to remind folks too that WolfCon submission deadline is today. So if you've got proposals, please get them in, even if they're a little bit sketchy. That's okay. And then I wanted to also let people know the Privacy SIG is looking about reviving its activities after being on hiatus. And Jen Kolt is kind of leading that effort right now. I don't know that she wants to be the convener long term, but she is interested in getting the SIG back operational at least on some semi-regular basis. Especially as we're looking at SIG priorities to make sure that some of the issues that were raised by the Privacy SIG when they did their own kind of report on things don't get lost, or and there's some advocates for them. So now I wanted to talk a little bit about some work that we have been trying to undertake in the Product Council to collect SIG priorities. You might remember we talked about this a while ago, now like earlier in the winter. I'm going to share my screen and show you what we've got going on. And Caitlin Stewart, who's one of the PC co-chairs, has been spearheading this. And right now, we were kind of interested in getting examples from SIGs and then talking about looking at what we've got and thinking about how we could help provide kind of a list of top priorities from the community for Folio that we could then plug as things like, hey, these are fill gaps in the marketplace. They are, identified by the community as needs. And so if we do have the ability for development teams or new development resources to pick things up, we could then say, like, we've got some, I guess, projects that are ready to go. So what I did for acquisitions, which you can see each group is here right now, kind of related to some of the questions around like data import, even though that's a subgroup under metadata management, and they haven't submitted any priorities yet. They're still working on that. We felt like breaking them apart because of the level of complexity and specialization in some of the different functionality areas made sense. So we're not being at the moment very prescriptive or restrictive about what groups can submit priorities. We're trying to get the totality of priorities across different functional areas. And then we also were talking yesterday some about how the PC might be able to even be looking at kind of the market and the direction and see if there's priorities that we want to highlight that maybe aren't coming through the SIG, since the SIGs obviously are looking at things in a little bit more of a specialized area. So these top ones here, is this, by the way, is this like really tiny on your screen? Because I have it on my big monitor. I can make it bigger if that would be of use.
Actually looks okay to me, but yeah, I don't know about everyone else.
Okay, so these come from our ACSIG topics list. So what I basically did for pulling those in is I went to oops, yeah, so I went to our implementers page, and then I just followed the list from Jira to see everything, and I picked the ones that had the most votes. And so those are also represented on here. So if you haven't been voting, I'm just gonna say I've been using, at least locally in Chicago, we've been using the weekly reminders from that Heather helped set up. And we have a quick email discussion because it's usually only a couple. I mean, it hasn't been like overwhelming. And so we've been like, I've been adding Chicago votes to things that we feel like are important to us, but I have not seen for a lot of the newer items that there are a lot of votes on them. So if we want to make sure we're able to use these votes, people will want to be, looking at the new items as they come out, so they can rise in priority if something more recently discussed is important. So, like this first one here, which was, submit orders via email integration, that I know has been talked about in the SIG, and has also, got this nice note about, German institutions being willing to pick it up. That's also really useful. And we liked this particular one when we were thinking about the types of things we'd want on the list and sort of the level that we would want. It's fairly well described. It may need some user stories. And it's it's out there with explaining what it's doing. We've got notes with resources on here, and it had a lot of votes. So, one of the things when we were talking about the list is like, what level do we want things at? And I guess my own, and this might even be a question for Dennis too, like, UX prod is kind of the feature level. That's what ultimately gets picked up and put into some of the flower releases. We also have, some other levels that I think are more like stories in larger UX prods. And like this one here, which was a receipt status for withdrawn items, that also is fairly high with a 14 votes. And that's under this like umbrella feature. And I can see where putting this umbrella feature in the list is maybe not going to be that helpful because it's just like requested enhancements and it's got a whole lot of things that are not necessarily fully related to each other. So that's one of my questions as we're working on this is kind of understanding the different project acronyms that are in Jira, because I don't even know what they all are. We've got, UIREC and UIOR and UIF. And I know one of the other ones that came here, like this is like a, I think that's a Stripes issue. So what we did want to avoid was like just something giant, like an epic, that we felt like that would be really hard to prioritize, or it would be like all the work because it would have 60 features under it or something. But I did want to, like, I feel like I need my own, for the product council, we're going to need kind of our own primer on the different Jira projects to make sure that the level of features that we're putting on here is appropriate. So
Do you
you,
want
oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just gonna say, do you want me to give like a little 2 minute, quick 2 minute on that, or
Yeah, or if
we could
there's
do
a
that some other
place that
time?
we could refer to, that would even be great too.
Yeah,
Like,
that's a good point. I'll take a look and see if there's a page that describes it. I mean, essentially what you're looking at are the yellow icons there represent features. The idea of a feature is that it's something that can be accomplished within a release. So the purple icon, those should represent epics. I think the umbrella one is a different icon, but epics or umbrellas typically are larger. Like they represent work that can't be done in one release. So the epic is kind of top level for product owners organizing their features. Usually an epic will be made up of multiple features, and a feature will be made up of multiple stories. So the blue icon there represents a story, a user story, and that's like it's the breakdown of the work that needs to be done. So you start with epic, that's like big grouping of work, could take multiple releases to accomplish. And then there are features that all put together will deliver the epic, but those features can be done within a single release. And then there are the user stories that ideally can actually be finished in a sprint, and a sprint is 2 weeks long. So the user stories are a much smaller breakdown of what needs to be done. And all of our features, the way that Folio is set up in Jira, we have this one project called UX Prod. That is where all the features and epics are created. So that's like the work organization project that we use. It's called UX Prod. And then all these other names, when you look at stories, you see all these other names, UIREC, UIOR. Those represent, if it has UI in it, it represents the UI module of that area. So this is UI receiving and UI orders, and UI finance is UIF. So those are, that's work that needs to be done in that specific module for a specific feature. It's kind of the idea. So there are also mod stories like mod orders, mod this, mod that. Those are the typically the either business logic or backend modules. So user stories are created in a more specific project because the work needs to be done in a specific area. I'll try to
So,
find some documents.
yeah, so to some extent, I think a lot of what we have discussed from the Act Sig topics are at the story level. So, if I'm understanding you correctly, then these are things that would be like a sprint's worth, work of worth. Excuse me, as I can't say that, a sprint level of work. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I can see where if receipt status for withdrawn items is part of a feature that feels like a catch-all, it doesn't have as much meaning as like at that story level.
Yeah, it's kind of a it can be a bit of a moving target, right? It's sort of an art and a science trying to figure out how big the thing is that's being asked for, like how to break it down. So initially, I think a lot of the times with these Act Sig topics, we will create a story, and then we'll add it to this bucket. That's just kind of the process we've been using. We create a story, a user story that describes the thing that's being asked for, and then we add it to this bucket. If it starts to align with work that, you know, we're being pushed to do for any number of other reasons, or you know, it's right at the top of the queue and we have some capacity, we will look at that and start to refine it. And at that point, we might realize that this user story is actually going to be like 15 days of work, you know, or something like that. And it needs to be, it's actually a lot bigger than a user story. So at that point, we may turn it into a feature and start breaking down the work, right?
Okay.
So Yeah, it's a bit of a moving target, I think, depending on, whether it's been refined or not. If the story has story points assigned to it, then that means the team has done that review. They've thought about how long it's going to take. They've assigned some story points, and it could be really small. And if it's really small, then we're sort of like, okay, how should we best organize this work to make it visible in the release? Because the release notes are usually at the feature level. So if we delivered receipt status for withdrawn items, we kind of need to find a bucket to put that into. And so maybe a feature would be created for it just so it's more visible. And there would just be this one story and maybe a back end, maybe a mod story as well, because there might need to be some back end work done here to make this possible.
Can I
Or it
see,
might just be one story. Yeah.
can people see the story points on
You would, yes. This one is not pointed.
okay, you're over in the details.
It should appear in the details. Everyone's view in Jira, it also may be that you, well, here, I'll find a story that's pointed and let's just double check. Because yeah. Second. Okay, try this link. Gonna put it in chat here. This happens to be closed, but it has points. Yeah,
Yeah.
so you will see it. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like right there. Okay. This is really useful information. And so if I'm understanding what you're saying too, and this doesn't surprise me that much, like the cross app interaction SIG has these purple ones would represent
Right.
epics. And so
Because
if
a lot of
that's
the time that group is looking at stuff that's got to be done kind of across Folio.
yeah.
Yeah. So there would be ultimately POs need to create features and associate them with this epic to make this thing possible.
Yeah, and I can this one's also like in draft status versus a lot of these are in draft status too, but then these are open. So if we said like we want to make this be a priority, we would probably need to flesh it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have stories associated with it yet.
Now, I thought submit orders by making email inspiration. I thought some folks were looking at this one already, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, and there's a note about them thinking about looking at it if they weren't in. I have it
Yeah,
here.
so they might be kind of in the middle
Yeah.
of investigating this one. And yeah, the statuses of these things, I don't know if anyone's really interested in this, so maybe I just won't get into it, but the statuses should tell you in a general sense where this thing is. So if Thunderjet was working on refining this right now, it would be in a different status. It would be in the in refinement status. So right now, typically, if it's a feature and it's draft, or if it's a draft, it's probably not complete. Like it was an idea or there's a little bit of detail. There's a fair bit of detail here. So this one might actually be, there might be enough detail here to actually estimate this. So this could have, at the feature level on the right-hand side there, you'll see estimates. There's a front-end estimate, back-end estimate, and then there's a confidence level. So at the feature level, we will give things an estimate, which is based on t-shirt sizes. Like if you click one of those fields, you'll see there the t-shirt sizes are, small, medium, large, extra large, very small. So the idea here is at this level, you're giving an estimate that's probably not going to be very accurate, and you have a confidence level, and then a team might commit to doing that work, like actually delivering that feature, at which point you have to go to the trouble of creating all the user stories if they don't exist already. And then the user stories all get estimated, and the story points assigned to the user stories, that tells you exactly how much work there is to do there. So these estimates are used for like the rough planning of how much a team can get done in a release cycle, and then user stories are created, and that should be a much more accurate. Once you have all the user stories created, you should know pretty clearly how much work needs to be done. But obviously still things can go wrong, and or things can change and so on. But yeah. Not to bore.
This is it's good. Like, I feel like I learn more about Jira every day, and these are not things that I usually assign. So I think it's going to be helpful as we think about how we can support the priorities and sort of what level of information do we want and when do we want, some of this work to happen. I do want to kind of go back to the priority list, and I hopefully have, Dennis and I aren't boring other people, but I found it really interesting. So, and just check in with folks to see what they think about this direction, and if it's helpful to kind of have this overview of top fives from the different groups.
Kristen, I'll say we've only lost one person. Now two. but I think it is very helpful. I think it's interesting. So, yeah.
It is something, we've talked about a lot in this group, I think, over time, how we add the most value to the backlog of features, right? We incorporated this system with the page, the influence topics, that I think has been pretty successful in collecting feedback and turning it into work items that obviously sometimes still need to be refined, but we have delivered on many of those work items. Because once they exist and POs are aware of it, it's so much easier to align that work with work that other folks are looking for, or with milestones that you have been mandated with as a product owner, things like that. The voting, I think, is another level of that that's given more information to product owners about what the AxeSig is interested in. But I think it is always going to be a challenge refining these items, because it is quite a bit of work to go from a high level description of this is what we think Twilio should do to a detailed breakdown of here is the feature, and this is the design we have that we want to proceed with, the approach we're going to take to make that work, and then creating all the stories and so on. Like, it can be, I think that's a pretty big gap, because it's a lot of work, between getting things, having things voted on, and actually refining them to the point where they're ready to be implemented. And just keeping track of it all, like as we create those stories from the implementers topics list, myself, Aaron, Joe, we're putting them in that larger bucket, and it definitely occurs to me, whenever I look at that epic, acquisitions enhancements backlog, that epic's not very valuable. But breaking all that stuff up into features would be a lot of work. So yeah, it's a tough spot. How do we extract more value from that backlog epic moving forward? Little unclear.
Owen just
Yeah,
in
Owen.
chat, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would have a tough time arguing against that as well. I don't know. It's a little, I haven't used them much, to be honest, myself either. Like, maybe occasionally they've been useful for organizing work across teams because you can kind of, you create this epic and then assign sort of a, you have a template feature that folks can work from, and it's easier to find a little bit, maybe. But yeah. We don't really have documentation that leverages epics. So other than maybe being a large bucket for stories that don't have features, I haven't found much use for them either. In the context of Folio.
Yeah, I'm just reading the
That's
chat.
true. Yeah. I can see them being a useful tool for, especially for the cross app sake, because yeah, you would be working to coordinate like folio-wide changes, right? And typically that stuff's going to take more than one release to actually figure out, because every team kind of, possibly every team has to implement something, but
Yeah, or I guess I'm wondering with the epics like that, if you have something where you're going to have the features where multiple teams are going to be working on the feature, does the epic help bring those things together to be in sort of the same, show they're part of the same thing because it would be widespread and diffuse work, even if across a single release?
Yeah. I guess the other reality is just that I don't really have dashboards that look at epics. We use labels and things to organize. A lot of product owners, I think, use feature labels to organize features. And it works. I mean, an epic is just another way of relating features together. But a label is doesn't essentially the same thing. When you're creating a dashboard, you can use a label to pull a bunch of features together, and you can have multiple labels. You can only have one parent issue. So usually the epic is linked as a parent, like the parent-child relationship in Jira is one to one or one to many. So
Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, morning. I came a little late, so I might not have heard, and maybe you guys already talked about this, but in connection with this, Owen and Dennis, since you're both here, do you think that this overview showing what is viewed as most important to be worked on in different apps and different app areas could be helpful in surfacing where there is overlap and maybe even how should I say that another app can be working on something that actually will make the thing that was asked for in the one app not necessary, if you see what I mean, or where it makes sense to then touch base with the other product owner or the other group. I'm thinking specifically about, for example, the one about export transactions from finance, which I'm not saying we shouldn't do or anything like that, but to me that immediately goes, oh, wait, isn't like lists trying to do all this work around being able to create, lists for things and then be able to export information. And I don't think lists and bulk edit have made lists yet. Although I do also realize that in some cases, if you haven't implemented all the different apps, you might not be able to then take advantage of the ability in one, if it's not then created within its own, so to speak. I'm sorry if I'm babbling, but I hope I'm making myself understood.
Yeah, I think, it's helpful for sure to have views like this where it's more easy to see what work is being planned for different areas across Folio. I th think a lot about this because there are quite a few product owners with EBSCO. We're all working on slightly different areas. And we all obviously acknowledge that we don't want to be working on, we don't want a duplicating effort. But this at a higher level, even because, there are a lot of product owners. This is more like what Khalil has been looking at across the project, making sure we're doing a similar thing. And I think it's always a challenge because having a resource like this is it's only useful if folks are reviewing it. So reviewing it has to be part of the process somehow as well. So that people are paying attention to it, and then it is making them aware of what other folks are doing and all those things. But I think it absolutely could be helpful for that. And exporting is just one of those areas where that is actually, it's probably is duplication of effort. The way that it's described in that user story to export transactions from finance. A lot of those, export, import related functionality, analytics or anything that's sort of re in the reporting domain, there's it could easily be debated, where that work should be done. So absolutely for all those things, having the more visible that is, the more people that question it, that say, we should talk about this, the group should talk about this a little bit with X, Y, and Z people, the better, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Thinking about this, obviously, we will have to think about how we want to keep this current. But then, like, some things are very specific and very, I guess, more narrow compared with some things that are maybe broader. And maybe now, as Folio's gotten more developed, have other options out there.
And also, this is desired functionality, right? Is what we're looking at here.
Yeah, this is part of what we felt like we were missing in the roadmap was a sense of what people wanted to have happen that maybe
Yeah.
wasn't assigned versus like what we could report on what was happening, and that's useful. But this is more like, oh, if we're looking ahead, what are some things that people have identified as needs that maybe are out there, and just trying to list every like, unassigned JIRA gets overwhelming.
Yeah. It would be really interesting to look at if you can look at these areas, to have a filter that pulls in the sort of like in progress features for a given area and also shows the most desired. So you can kind of compare what's being worked on and what the community really wants in a given area. That would be an interesting comparison page as well.
Yeah. Owen?
Yeah, I was gonna say, communicating in about these different priorities is never going to be a bad thing, I think. So in answer to Sarah's question, like surfacing this and seeing this is always going to be a good thing. In terms of like how it actually informs then the outcomes, I think it's I'm not entirely sure, obviously, if that because the nature of Folio is that generally it comes down to individual apps to implement things. So it's, and in fact, where that hasn't happened, so with tags and notes, let's say, where there's been this idea that we could have a single application that then does this across the board, I have to, my feeling is the results there are at best mixed. I think that that's not always been successful. And so while it's obviously great, if you see, oh well, such and such is working on a particular thing and we're thinking of doing something similar, then you can have those discussions. The reality is that you end up having to implement it yourself anyway. Certainly, and there, I come from a perspective here which is maybe slightly different to Dennis's because the apps I work on are a completely different code base to any of the apps developed by EBSCO or EPAM teams. But even in those cases, I think you'd see differences. Because they're not all working the same way. So it often, while it's useful to know people are working on these things, often it doesn't really impact on the work you have to do. You still have to do the work. Where it can help is trying to get ahead of any later inconsistencies in implementations. And I think that's where cross app is, a lot of the cross app epics, which are listed here, are about retroactively trying to get things to be more consistent. And that is definitely a hard task because, despite, and this comes back to what Dennis said, despite the fact that cross app has identified these as priorities, if it's a priority for cross app to have, for instance, search across Folio apps be case insensitive, and that isn't true in, I mean, in fact, the ERM apps are case insensitive, but let's say that wasn't the case, then unless that's also on the list of priorities in the ERM row, then it's kind of, who's doing that work? No, nobody's doing that work. So I think that this is a, I think this is a great communication tool. I think it's useful from that perspective. As always with Folio, the reality, just comes down to, and I guess with any product, you know, where is the resource coming from and who's, you know, how is this, you know, going to be implemented on the ground? And we can kind of, when we look from above, we say, well, wouldn't it be great if search was consistent across all apps? But when we look at the detail, you know, in ERM, for instance, I mean, I think that these ERM things, I mean, these actually reflect what we are doing, right? Whether they reflect, and they're what we are doing because there's resource to do them. Somebody is paying for them to be done. That's not quite the same as what, you know, for instance, you, Sarah, might feel were the top priorities for ERM, I think. And so there is a, you know, this isn't a entirely consistent table, I think, in terms of what it reflects. And I don't want that to undermine the usefulness of this, but the reality of the situation on the ground is always basically comes down to, I'm afraid, you know, who's going to pay for this to be done, and therefore will it get done in a time frame that's reasonable to users? And so ultimately, this kind of communication, you know, helps inform that, but is just one of very many signals going into that pot.
Yeah, I think it would be, and I've seen this a little over time, that people will come to myself or, you know, one of the other POs working acquisitions and ask what would be good features to work on. That's happened to us before. And it's sort of a combination of, well, what do we have that's pretty well defined? You know, because that group may not have the resources necessarily to refine the requirements, like engage the community, figure out what needs to be done. They might just be able to contribute some development effort. And I think those are the circumstances where this would be very valuable, because it'd be easier to see, you know, these are the things that in general, and again, the voting is not going to be 100% accurate. It may be not the most, it's not guaranteed to be representative either. It's not, it could be flawed way of prioritizing things, but it's better than having nothing, would be my argument. So I think in that way, this could influence development, because when there are folks who do have some funding, but don't necessarily have a clear, you know, a specific bit of functionality that they are trying to accomplish with that funding, this would make it really easy for them to find something of high value to do, to contribute to the Folio project. And in combination with this, or a table like this, that kind of surfacing all of the higher priority things in an area, if the SIG is working on refining those with the time that we have, then we might be more likely that those features are ready to be developed when someone comes along with some funding. Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly
what having a metric, for like value versus investment. We kind of have those things, as long as the features estimated, like as long as it has a t-shirt size, you kind of know, or the story is pointed, you kind of know, well, this is going to be 5 points and it's got 25 votes on it. That's, you know, again, not a perfect metric, but there's at least some information there that says this thing is, people are going to use it.
Sorry, I realize we're taking up most of this meeting, which I hope is okay. Sarah?
I guess what I was also trying to get at before was that I wonder, like, in following on Owen and Dennis's conversation about money and capacity and who pays and or who can pay and who has capacity, I just as Folio like matures and grows, I hope that we sometimes realize that other apps can do for us what we're asking to do to have money and capacity in a certain app to do, right? Like, so that there's like this finance thing, right? Like, if Lys has the ability to do it, it doesn't right now, but it will hopefully, then do we really need to put money and effort into doing it within finance? Like that then should also be a discussion, I think. And because, but at the same time, a list like or a page like this might help us to surface that if I didn't happen to be attending the list bulk edit and list SIG or whatever they're called, I don't think they're a SIG, I forget, then I wouldn't know this. Right. So if I don't know this, then I can't realize that maybe I just have to be patient and it will be available to me elsewhere. And I just need to familiarize myself with lists instead. And I think a lot of us are at our home institutions, right? We have our designated work area and spectrum, and we don't always think of like looking outside of that area, or we don't have the time or the capacity. Somebody needs to point it out to us. And in this case, that would be one of these cases. Like, or how do we surface as a group or as a community when a different app is already taking care of something that we're asking for in app A, right? Like how can we do that? Because then that also saves on spending money and capacity in building something that might not need to be built separately because it already exists just elsewhere within that within Folio. I don't know how we do that, but I think that would be super important.
I completely agree. I think the how is kind of, I don't know. I don't think there's really a magic bullet to the how. It's like the more people that we have attending SIG meetings that are aware of work or like functionality of other areas, the more the POs are keeping that in mind when we have a conversation about that thing, like export transactions. Hopefully that's part of the conversation. Like, does this really need to happen here? If it already happened somewhere else, then we really need to make a note on that story and either close that story, as won't do, for the reason of, this is already possible in X application, like lists. So the community has decided it isn't really that valuable. I'm not exactly sure if that's the best way to go about it, because maybe someone just really, really wants it to be possible in finance and they're willing to spend the money on it. And, should we stop that from happening, or can we really stop that from happening? I don't think so. Maybe that's the challenge of open source, is that,
I mean, that's one of the,
flexibility that people have.
yeah, that's one of the things we've touted even about Folio. Like, oh, if you don't like the way something works, you could build it differently yourself.
Do it the way you want. Yeah. So we might not be able to prevent that, but I do think in, 80% of the time, it would probably be that the user probably just doesn't realize that they could do it somewhere else and they'd be perfectly happy doing that. Or it would be way less effort to implement in lists, for example. And so we should absolutely be looking at that as an avenue. If from a user perspective, it makes as much sense or a similar amount of sense. But work-wise, it's way less expensive than, yeah, it probably makes probably everyone would agree. Okay, let's do it over there. So you move that requirement from UI Finance to UI Lists, and it gets done somewhere else.
Owen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that last point that Dennis has made is a really good one. That, but I want to just be really clear. Like, just because the list app exists, it doesn't actually mean that it does anything specific. It has a bunch of tools which you can then can be leveraged in other play in for new functionality. But that new functionality takes work. So the reason you can't already, say, do financial reporting in lists is because there hasn't been somebody available or it hasn't been prioritized to have the database schema for finance implemented into the backend used by the lists application, which is something called ModFQM and something else, I can't remember now. But essentially, there's a whole infrastructure behind that. And that, none of this comes without effort. So while I think it's right to say for Dennis to say, well, actually, maybe we should always look at, things that are going to work for the user that do something, quickly, as cheaply as possible, so we can deliver more for the resource we're putting in. So if we can achieve this more cheaply using the Lists app, then great. But actually, more cheaply and free are hugely different things, obviously. And it will still take a load of effort, probably from the same teams, honestly, or at least, investment from, it won't take that effort away from ThunderJet. I shouldn't think they will have to be involved in any implementation of lists with acquisitions apps, because they're the people who know the acquisitions apps, know the underlying database schema, know how those reports need to be put together. So, I do think that is part of the product owner's job, is to try and be aware of all of those things and to make use of them where it makes sense. And as Dennis said earlier about, a lot of that is more art than science, because you're trying to understand what the user wants, what's going to be the best possible solution for the user, how far, particular desires on the user's part are going to be served by particular approaches, and whether those, whether that investment versus return equation is going to work out if you do it in a different way. And we've seen that, for instance, we've done some stuff obviously with the dashboard where we have exposed certain things, and like that is exactly trying to say, well, we know that really what users want is an alerting system that's really proactive and does all this stuff for them and shows them, when stuff is coming up for renewal. But actually getting that working was just going to be so expensive, that we're not going to do that right now. And we do something that's, not exactly what users wanted, but takes a step in the right direction, maybe, we hope, and delivers that. And so, that is it's that kind of decision that I would say most product owners are trying to make every time they sit down and work with these stories and features, and try and say, what is the best way of delivering this? How can we deliver this in a way that's going to work for the user, but that isn't, that makes the best use of the resource that we've got available to us?
So I've got an in-person meeting that's starting in a couple minutes, so I'm going to need to go. But I really appreciated this conversation. I'm actually going to suggest some of my colleagues on the product council listen to this because it's really great to get. I feel like we had this great product owner perspective on this that's brought up a lot of really interesting points.
Thank you, Kristen. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing this. I
Right.
think it highlights another thing for the AxeSig as well, that we spend a fair bit of time discussing AxeSig topics, which is essentially filling the backlog. And recently I've been working with the Consortia SIG on like organizing the features that have been defined there because they've been doing work there for a long time. But I think it kind of brings to light that we could probably spend more time as an AxeSig refining our backlog to contribute to this effort. Like the more clearly things are defined, the easier they are to vote on. It sort of all kind of trickles down. The clearer it is that, well, maybe this should be done somewhere else and we can move it somewhere else and we can have those conversations. That work is tough to do. It's sometimes a little bit painful to refine stories because we have to, we only have an hour together. We've got to think deeply about an issue. So I don't know if it makes sense really to do that in a group this size, but I do think there's maybe a challenge there or an opportunity for us to improve the way we're doing things. And I think the AxeSig has been pretty effective in getting functionality defined and implemented by multiple groups and moving acquisitions forward over time. But maybe that's somewhere where that we should be looking more closely is we now got this big list and we're churning through it and it's effective and we're getting stories created, but then we need to spend a little more time updating those and keeping that backlog clean so it isn't just building and building and building and that we have duplications of effort in there. And there's some organization work that needs to be done that's just time consuming, and difficult, but we could do it a little bit at a time, maybe. So
All
yeah,
right.
it's my
Thank you,
thought.
Dennis. I appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Well, we got 2 minutes and we'll call it a day for us. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.